I'm going to ask you to turn with me in your Bibles to Acts chapter 12. If you don't have a Bible, there's some in the seats in front of you. If you don't own a Bible, you're welcome to keep that for yourself. Acts chapter 12. We're going to take a look at a story we touched on a few weeks ago. We spent 2 weeks looking at this story, and there's a part of it that I really wanted to talk about, but I wasn't at liberty to at that time, but today it's the word for today. So Acts chapter 12. Before we get there, I want to show you this verse from Zechariah 4:10. Do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. Do not despise small beginnings. Let me do just a quick review of where we are right now. For a few weeks, we've been talking about breakthrough and pursuing breakthrough. I've shared with you several times that I've been praying that the day of breakthrough will come quickly. Let me explain what I mean by that. The day of breakthrough is that moment in time when God suddenly moves in power, and that becomes the norm. Sicknesses are healed, addictions are broken, marriages are miraculously restored, the lost find Christ, the hopeless find hope, those who wandered away from God turn back to Him and become radical revivalists. Miracles become the norm. God comes suddenly. That's what I mean by breakthrough. And God has called this church to pray into that this year and to pursue His purposes with priority and with passion, because revival is coming. Right now, we're in a time of preparation, and that preparation is necessary for revival to come. The thing about the time of preparation that we're in right now, and we all recognize this, is it is very painful, it's very difficult, and it is absolutely exhausting. But all of this is leading to something. The things we have gone through as a church for these past 6 months, the things many of you have gone through individually and in your family, this is not just random chaos. It is building up to something amazing that God is going to do. I believe that with all of my heart. And sometimes I need to be reminded of that, and I'm sure you do as well. This past week was a very difficult week. In the middle of everything else that's been happening in the church, Mandy was taken to the hospital, taken to the ER in an ambulance. I know Scott lost a grandfather. Liz lost a grandfather. On Tuesday, my dad was rushed to the hospital in an ambulance. On Wednesday, my mom was rushed to the hospital in an ambulance. Sheila's been sick for the last several days. It's been an exhausting week. Have you ever gotten frustrated with God's apparent inactivity? So I talked with him about that the other day, and I kind of said something like this: God, we are fighting, but we need you to fight too. We're praying, and we really need you to answer prayers. And later that evening, I was looking at this verse in Zechariah and just kind of looking at the story surrounding it, and I came to Zechariah chapter 2. And verse 13 jumped out and grabbed my attention. It says this: be silent before the Lord, all humanity, for He is springing into action from His holy dwelling. And when I saw that verse, I said, God, I receive that as your answer. Because that is what we desperately need, and that is what we long for God to spring into action. So Acts chapter 12. There was a part of the story I wanted to cover, and today is the day to cover this. Let me just give you the background, just a quick review of what's happening in Acts chapter 12. The early church is going through a time of sudden and intense persecution. King Herod had James, one of the leaders of the church, arrested and beheaded. Just imagine that happening in our church. Somebody you know is arrested and beheaded simply because they're a follower of Christ and they worship at the same place that you do. The church is going through a traumatic experience. And Herod is so pleased with the response of the crowds that he then arrests Peter, the leader of the church, and has him thrown into prison, and plans to have a big trial, a big show trial, to make a public example out of Peter, a public warning to everyone, this is what happens to these Jesus people. And so the church gathered together, and they began to pray. And God answered those prayers in a powerful way. As Peter is chained up in prison, God sent an angel who showed up to Peter, tapped him on the shoulder, and when he did, the chains fell off of Peter's wrists, the prison doors open, the guards are completely oblivious, and the angel leads Peter out of that prison into the dark of night, and Peter is a free man. In the middle of that, Peter thought he was just dreaming. He didn't realize this was actually happening. He thought this was just a dream he was having. And all of a sudden, the angel left, and Peter realized, no, this is actually happening right now. So that's where we'll pick up the story. Acts chapter 12, starting in verse 12, it says this. When he realized this, he went to the home of Mary, the mother of John Mark, where many were gathered for prayer. He knocked at the door and the gate, and a servant girl named Rhoda came to open it. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed that instead of opening the door, she ran back inside and told everyone, "Peter is standing at the door." "You're out of your mind," they said. When she insisted, they decided it must be his angel. I just want to remind you, this is the early church, right? This is, you know, we look at the early church and we say, wow, they were so faith-driven. They had such a strong walk with God, and they saw God do some amazing things. And I'm sure in this gathering of prayer warriors, there were some people there who had seen the resurrected Christ in the flesh. I'm sure in that prayer gathering, there were some people there who had been in that upper room on the day of Pentecost and saw God move in power on that day. This is a church that has seen the miraculous over and over again. And now here they are praying for a miracle, and when it happens, they start arguing over whether or not God actually did a miracle. Have you ever noticed how when we're in the middle of trials right now, it's very easy for us to forget God's faithfulness that we have seen with our own eyes in the past? And it's also easy for us to miss out on what God is up to in the middle of those trials right now. When we were in youth ministry back in the 90s, we were in a church in Ohio, and there was a group of people in our church that kept saying things like, God is going to do something amazing here. It's going to be awesome. When God finally shows up and begins to move and work, it's going to be incredible to see what God's going to do. And there was a group of people that kept saying that over and over, looking forward to something God was going to do. Meanwhile, in a church of about 200 people, we had about 100 students on Wednesday nights coming to youth group. And most of them were unchurched students who had no background, no knowledge of Christ or Christianity, the Bible whatsoever. We went through a season of a few months where any student who came for 2 weeks or more gave their lives to Christ. We had one Sunday where we baptized 19 people, and most of them were students who came to Christ on Wednesday night before that. And there are people in the church saying, wow, God's going to move, God's going to do great things, can't wait till it finally happens. And we're saying, no, it's happening right now. You're completely missing it because you're looking for something in the future and you have your eyes closed to what God is doing right here and right now. Sometimes we're in the middle of God doing great things and we don't even see it because we despise small beginnings. Let's go back to the story. I love verse 16. It says, meanwhile, Peter continued knocking. So there and they're arguing. He's alive. No, he's dead. He's alive. No, he's dead. He's right there at the door. No, he's not. And Peter's like, guys, hello. Somebody open the door. Let me in. Like it's midnight. And he's out there knocking on the door. And at this point, he's probably remembering the story Jesus told. We talked about this, where a guy went to a friend's house at midnight, needed some help, knocked on the door. The guy said, leave me alone. And Jesus talks about his shameless persistence and he kept knocking on the door. So Peter's like, okay, I guess I'm the guy in the story. I'm just going to keep pounding on the door till somebody comes and helps me out. And so finally they do. It says they finally opened the door and saw him and they were amazed. He motioned them to quiet down and told them how the Lord had led him out of prison. God answered their prayer. The answer to their prayer was literally right there, knocking at the door, but they had to be convinced that it actually happened. Which makes me wonder, is it possible they were praying for a miracle, but not expecting to actually see a miracle? Because after what had happened to James, maybe they were traumatized. Because they didn't see God come through and they thought, well, God's not going to come through this time either. Sometimes when we experience terrible tragedies and prayer goes unanswered, sometimes when we experience traumatic events and God does not rescue us the way we hope he will, we'll pray for the next thing that happens, but not really expect that our prayers are going to have any influence whatsoever. I don't want to be that guy, and I don't want us to be that church. I want us to be a church that expects to see God move in power. Amen. I want us to be a church that believes God is springing into action in response to our prayers. Do not despise the small beginnings. I felt very strongly that I needed to highlight this today. I believe God is up to some awesome stuff right now. In the middle of everything that's happening, there are some small beginnings that are the seeds that are going to lead to revival, that are going to lead to awesome breakthroughs, that are going to lead to all of the things we have been talking about and praying about for so long. God is planting those seeds. There are small beginnings all around us, but we don't see it because we're so focused on the battles we are in the middle of right now. And that's one of the reasons worship is so important. It's one of the reasons Kaylee felt led to do a worship night every single month, because we need that as a church. We become so focused on our problems and on the needs, we miss out on what God is doing in the middle of those problems and in the middle of those needs. Why do we talk so much about worship? I know sometimes some of you get frustrated with us talking about just throw yourself into worship. Don't hold back. Just worship with abandon. Just fully immerse yourself. Raise your hands. Clap your hands. Shout. Don't just stand there mumbling through the words, but engage in worship. Why do we tell you that? Two reasons. First of all, because God deserves that. He deserves our best. But secondly, because when we truly worship, when we engage ourselves fully, it takes our eyes off of ourselves and helps us to notice God, to notice His presence, to notice who He is and what He is up to. And we need to choose to notice Him, even in the small beginnings. When I think of small beginnings, I think of a dozen people in a fire hall on a Sunday about 8 years ago. You guys remember, you were there. That was a small beginning. And that small beginning has now grown into a church of more than 10 times that size, with two services, our own building, ministry to all ages, stuff happening all week long. A place where people are getting saved and baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. A place where people are learning to discover their spiritual gifts and getting involved in ministry and serving each other and praying together for each other and growing deeper and stronger in Christ. And we're just getting started. God miraculously provided us with this building that we never would have been able to afford. God provided it miraculously with this building that we thought, well, maybe someday we'll fill it. And now we're saying, what's the next building going to be, because we're outgrowing this one? What you and I are a part of right now had a very small beginning, but God is growing it into something mighty for His kingdom. And if we had given in to discouragement during those lean years, when there was fewer than 30 people showing up on Sundays, if we had given in to discouragement when it was difficult and when it was challenging, when I was working full-time at Philhaven, plus teaching Messiah, plus doing this, if we had not pressed in and built on what God had started in the face of obstacles and difficulties and opposition, if we had given in the middle of that, none of this would be here right now. Small beginnings matter. And what we do with those small beginnings, well, that matters too. In this season we're in right now, I'll be honest with you, I am exhausted. But I want you to know we're going to press in. We're not going to give in. We're going to press in. Because in the middle of the chaos that we're seeing right now, God is doing some awesome stuff in the middle of that. And I don't want us to miss that and overlook it. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to stop talking. Don't clap. I think we need to encourage each other. Because I know there are some of you here today that are seeing God do some awesome things, some small beginnings. In the middle of the pain, in the middle of the trials, you're seeing God beginning to plant some seeds. You're seeing some things happen, and the rest of us need to hear about it. So I'm going to ask Tom, would you be our microphone guy?
Sure.
And just walk around with the mic so people can hear. Here's the question. In the middle of all the craziness we're going through, what are the ways you are seeing God spring into action right now in your life?